to 15. I have a burden to give some messages on the Christian life. As we approach Easter, it's appropriate, and we're looking today at the one who is the true vine. John chapter 15, from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. The Lord will be pleased to add his blessing to that reading of his word. Jesus is Lord. May this be our testimony. The expression, of course, is normal and natural, but it became a little more precious to me as I studied the lives of the martyrs in the early church. There they were, rounded up by the Roman soldiers, and they were expected to sacrifice to the gods of Rome, but they would stand there and say, Jesus is Lord. It's very fragrant, isn't it, to think about them. And everywhere I see it in the word, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. There may be some exceptions where we look at his humiliation, but even in his humiliation there is some hint of his lordship and of his true identity. In fact, I find lordship passages in many places where I've not seen them before, so we'll keep looking. He's there. Please turn to John chapter 15, 1-8, once more. Here we read about the true vine. This is what Jesus Christ is to his disciple. This is what Jesus Christ is to his church. Today, as you can see by the outline, I have 4 points. First of all, status. Who he is. Exalted. Who he is. Second point, relationship. How this status affects us. He's Lord. Number three, trust. Our response on the foundation of his status and our relationship. And number four, obedience. A way of life in the proper context. So let's follow these headings in the matter of the vine. The vine. First of all, status. In John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine. And in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and so on. The vine. As we read in the scripture, we find that it's not always a lovely, stately, amiable item among vegetation. I've seen vineyards, a very nice landscape, but not so high and lofty as the cedar, not so strong as the oak, not as graceful as the palm or the pine. And so the vine is nearer to the image of Jesus in his humiliation. I had a friend, he's in heaven now, but he was a vine dresser. He had a property with vineyards, when he got saved, he was embarrassed and he sold it for something else, but we don't like to supply the liquor trade. But he said concerning the grapevine, the wood of the grapevine is not useful for making things, and it's not useful for fuel because it burns up and it gives very little heat. And so we see elements of the Lord Jesus in his humiliation. No outward glory or pomp and magnificence. In fact, he himself said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He was not entertained with royalty or imperial palace in imperial palaces. In fact, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Mighty men are portrayed in the image of cedars of Lebanon. That's a magnificent tree, by the way. I can tell you firsthand. They're portrayed as the oaks of Bashan. But my Lord was looked upon as a mean, contemptible vine or shrub. Come with me, please. Keep a bookmark in John 15. Come to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. This is worth seeing in the context. Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we did, as it were, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We esteemed him not. Tender plant, a root out of dry ground. In his humiliation, he took upon him the form of a man, the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. That was God in the flesh, obedient unto death. He tasted death for every man. He died for our sins. But that's the vine from man's view. We never go anywhere without God's view or God's viewpoint. The vine has a more honourable name than other trees. The Lord's choicest plantation, dignified with the title goodly and noble. Come with me now to Ezekiel chapter 17. Ezekiel chapter 17. There's a lot in this that we can't deal with today, but look in verse 2. Son of man, put forth a riddle and speak a parable unto the house of Israel. And verse 3. And say, thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long winged, full of feathers, which had diverse colours, came unto Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. This is a symbol of the house of David. That's another matter, but, and so on. Symbol of the house of David. This is a parable of Israel. He cropped off the top of his young twigs and carried into a land of traffic. He set in a city of merchants, and so on. Verse 6, and it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature. See that? Whose branches turned toward him, and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine, and brought forth branches, and shot forth sprigs. There was also another great eagle with great wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him, and shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. A goodly vine. That's Israel. But Jesus said, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Look at Psalm 80, verses 8 to 10. Psalm 80, verses 8 to 10. Psalm 80 verse 8, Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. So the vine became exalted. But Jesus said, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. So all those vines on earth, all those entities figured by the vines, Israel and perhaps the church, amongst all those he says, I'm the real thing. I am the real thing. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's more glorious than the angels, and even they are ministering spirits. No king is near to his grandeur. The heavenly lights are dim alongside him. He's the royal Son of Heaven. He's the sublimest existence. It says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, first, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels worship him. It's Hebrews 1:6. And the true vine is the Lord from heaven, risen from the dead, ascended on high, seated at the right hand of all authority and power. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He's the head of the church. He's the Lord of your life. I trust. Is he the Lord of your life? Can you say Jesus is Lord with the M-Y in it? Jesus is my Lord. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which are God's, apostrophe S. Yes, his status, keep it in mind, it's the foundation for all that we say today. Number two, relationship. Relationship of Christ to the believer. He says, back here in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. It's our relationship. Lordship is not a cold, hard, steel-like mechanical authority. It's not like military authority. It's quite the opposite. I know that when we rebel, when we're backslidden, we make out that it is cold and hard, but it's not, because he loves us still. I've had the privilege, the privilege of dealing with many backsliders. Some of them are even bent on sin. They're going on with their sin life. They know they're backslidden. They know what the scriptures say. But they talk as though it's the word of a tyrant, as though it's applied legalistically and by harsh saints. That's the mindset of a backslider. But no, God's authority, the authority of our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's warm, it's full of love. It's helpful, it's all-embracing, it's almost like a mother and a baby. Tune into him. He's the one you need. The relationship of Christ to the believer is one of protection, guidance, feeding, comfort, for as long as you'll walk with him. That's the point, isn't it? Maintaining our relationship with him. Yes, it's gentle and loving. Don't we love to echo the scriptures, the Lord is my shepherd? Wonderful picture. The shepherd. The shepherd is not the drover. The shepherd is not the butcher. But when you fall behind the mark, you straight away think how hard he is. You know, it's the hardness of your own backslidden heart that you're feeling. It's not he, it's you. The relationship is shown by the vine and the branches. Well, we established his identity. We're talking now about the relationship. There's a sweet and blessed union between Christ and the believer. It's mystical, but it's real. What a blessing the Lord Jesus is to believers. You experience that? The earthly vine wonderfully abounds with sap and nourishment, feeding large branches. All partake of its root and of its fatness. There's enough to feed all, make them flourish to bear fruit. You know, I find it amazing to stand and have a look at the vines in Israel. The ground is as dry as dust, and yet there's a flourishing vine. I understand that overnight in Israel, the dew is as heavy as a shower of rain, almost. And that's how they get their moisture. Well, God looks after them. But just as the branch must look to the vine for its very existence, so too must we look to the true vine for our very life. It's by grace that the vine is willing to use branches. He doesn't need to use us, but he does. It's by grace and mercy that the vine is willing to receive branches into a relationship and to feed them, nurture them, nourish them. This is what lordship is all about. Not simply do this, do that. No. It's a sweet, loving, nurturing, feeding relationship. Wonderful opportunity to live in the light and warmth of a provided relationship. He's the Lord. He's the King of Heaven. He establishes a relationship with us. Isn't that rich? He promises and provides for our well-being and produce. We're constrained by love, and we keep his commandments because of that. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we come to number three, trust. The believer and Christ. What does he say? He says, abide in me. Abide in me. That's looking at the relationship from the Lord's point of view. He says to us, abide in me. But now from our end, the vine provides a relationship into which the branch enters and lives. The vine produces the branch. Three things here. The branch is lifeless without the vine. The branch is helpless without the vine. The branch is fruitless without the vine. And so you and I are lifeless, helpless, fruitless without Jesus Christ, the true vine, and a relationship of trust in him. Lifeless, you were dead in trespasses and sins. But verse 6 says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Where Christ is not, there is spiritual death. But where Christ comes, there's now the new birth, and there's new life. We enjoy his life. He must be born again. It's a miracle. It's from heaven, from God. It cannot happen with an old withered branch, but it can happen with you. Likewise, if you've begun to wither, he'll revive you again. Just be in touch with him. I looked up the word refresh, and I found three key New Testament references that tell how believers were refreshed in their spirits by fellowship with others and encouraged, receiving the encouragement of the flock, of the fellowship of the believers. It's no wonder you start to have problems when you miss meetings with the believers. In fact, you ought to get as much as you can. Meet with the saints. That's what God wants. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You know, I was saved at the age of 25. But I'd been in the house of God whenever it was opened all my life, up until that point. And yet Christians won't do it. I don't understand. But anyway, it's between you and the Lord. Lifeless without him. Helpless. He says here, without me you can do nothing. We have to trust, abide in him, because we're absolutely helpless without him. He's the Lord. He's the life giver. In Christian service, we don't do anything for him. He does the real work through us because he's the true vine. We're dependent on him. Whatever we do is corrupt, tainted with sin, tainted with self. Whatever he does is perfect. We simply yield and trust and let him work through us. That's the way we serve him. The branch deals with whatever resources come to it, passes the goodness through to produce fruit. The branch is a channel. John Wesley one day was challenged because he was a drunk in the gutter and he was a Methodist. And someone challenged John Wesley and said, "Isn't that one of your converts?" John Wesley said, "Yeah, I'm afraid it is." Meaning it's not one of his. Be careful. So this is why I would encourage everybody to have a personal ministry. Oh, I'm thankful for those who work in the background. I'm thankful for those who have the spiritual gift of helps. But many want to do just that, do something with their hands and that's it. As though it's your work for the Lord, for the Lord. There's the key. Well, handworks are necessary, and I'm so thankful for all who do. But if you don't have a personal ministry somewhere as often as you can with somebody, we need to operate as channels for the Lord, not just what we do. If we don't do that, we're failing. Round up the unsaved. Encourage the saints. Tell people your testimony. One sentence will do. But in it, trust him to do the work in the heart. So we had lifeless, helpless, and now fruitless. We're fruitless without him. We must abide in him. We've covered it, really. I've noticed with passion fruit, you know, I used to be a gardener, but I don't have time now. I specialised in pumpkins. You remember that, some of you? But I had a passion fruit vine. It was nice. I accidentally cut a branch off one day when I was cutting grass or some other thing. And I cut a branch not too far from the vine. I was so sorry. I nearly cried. I spliced it, I bandaged it, and I maintained some semblance of life for it. But the fruit that was already on it sickened and fell off. What a trauma. What a trauma. The Lord Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in the vine, no more can he except you abide in me. He said it. Well, until we realise our utter helplessness, until we realise our utter dependence on him, unless we recognise our own corrupt hearts, unless we say, Lord, I surrender all, Lord, I just want to be a channel for your love, a channel for your goodness, a channel for your life, Lord, I just want to see you work. Whether you use someone else, that's fine. My ego's not involved. Just use one of us or both of us. Just use us. Just one more thought about relationship and trust. The vine feels all the hurts and the bruises, When a branch is damaged, it hurts the vine. So when you're persecuted or abused, the Lord's in it with you. Now, I've had to come through some rough things said to me back over the years, way back, done to me. I was smeared and blackened, humiliated in public, well, church meetings, called all manner of things. On at least one occasion I was ordered out of somebody's home. But I've been able to say, they're doing that to my Lord Jesus. He's as concerned as I am, probably more. He's feeling that with me. He will deal with them. He will either save them, restore them, or avenge himself in some way, but I've got to leave it to him. He says that vengeance belongeth unto God. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Isn't it great that we can trust someone like that? He bears the hurt, bears the burden, but he gives the fruit. Well, number four, obedience. The believer. Our response. My words abide in you. Because of his status, obey. Because of the relationship, obey. Because we need to trust him, obey. I nearly chose as a closing hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way. No other way. How foolish to be a loner. And yet how much we try, how angular we are, how often we all but drop out of the vine. Don't do it. Some other tree with sweeter sap steals our attention, and we suck from the troughs of the world. Yuck. It's not nourishing. It's toxic. We become self-dependent, self-reliant. We resist conviction of sin. We resist conviction of error or conviction on principle, concerning principle. We commit ourselves on some point and we become dishonest in our rebellion. We neglect further light. Sometimes we might even have a vengeful spirit. We might have a worldly ambition. We might let the word slip from our grasp. We might omit prayer from our program, denying the Lord access to our lives and to the local church. Someone told me, and I saw the list, there are 27 reasons for failure in fruit bearing. And each one is a failure in lordship. But rebellion or backsliding is a symptom and product of failure in other areas. The status of the Lord Jesus. Defect in one's life in how we look upon him. The relationship with him. Our trust in him. That's where the failure is. Fruit bearing is a symptom, or lack of fruit bearing. I can tell mostly if people have a spiritual growth program. I can tell. Not always. And I'm afraid there may be a lack of spiritual growth somewhere among us. I'm afraid of that. I trust I'm wrong. I fear that some are not deep in the word. You know, it's between you and the Lord, but it comes out. We need to give ourselves to the time-honoured processes of the life of God in the soul. And that's through the word and prayer. It's simple, isn't it? The most basic things. The word of God and prayer. That's what we need. So simple. So neglected. Perhaps even so despised. And even Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Let me say it again. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. And we need that life from the vine to survive and to bear fruit. And so he says to us, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Let's not live in poverty when the riches of Christ are there, the riches of fellowship and service for him. Let's love him and obey him every day. Bear fruit and enjoy him. Amen.